Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John. Nobody has cared if I live or die all day. All of a sudden, I have 10 phone calls and I have two of my best friends on the line here at the good old shoe, as Ed Sullivan would call it. It's Pop Culture Stars. We're going to have a great time tonight. First of all, I want to say hello. Ladies first, I want to say hello to the Queen of Sparkle, Liz Brackett. How
well,
you doing?
Well, hello. I am fabulous. If I was any finer, I'd be frog hair split three ways, so I think I'm doing pretty good. How are you this evening, Dr.
Pratt?
John?
Pratt, I'm doing great. Been working hard all day at the grindstone. I was in Charleston the last couple of days, and I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, but I'll be somewhere. So
you'll
it's good to have
that's
you, Miss
be.
Liz. Huh?
I said you'll be
you
in
what?
My heart. That's where you'll be.
Well, I'm glad I'm in your heart. I think about you guys all the time when I'm having a crappy day, like when I was sitting in traffic for an hour and a half in Charleston. There was
I hate traffic.
Road work, and I know
yeah.
It was terrible. But anyway, Liz Brackett, we're so glad you're here. That man from Indianapolis, Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural. It's just helped giving someone an ear here earlier. They got some fertilizer news, so, the show's our thing, but I don't think you guys would forgive me if I didn't take a few minutes out for someone that needed me. But, yeah, other than that, doing outstanding and supernatural. Things are just freaking marvelous.
Well, we're glad you're here. And, we got some exciting things tonight. David Atwell, author and curmudgeon at large. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I hope everybody else is out here and enjoying a cigar and a cold Pabst Blue Ribbon. Got a little chilly out here this evening, but nothing that a jacket couldn't fix. So enjoying a pleasant evening and with good company with you guys.
Great. All right. And I will have foreshadowing for tomorrow night. Devin Tate just sent me just called, and I'm saying on show, we'll call later. On show, we'll call later. We are quite, how can I put it? We are quite spontaneous. We are quite real. And whatever the heck happens, happens. So Devin needs to talk to me. I'll talk to him in an hour or so once we get done.
Devin, call in.
He wants
send
to talk
Devin
to me.
Send Devin the digits.
He wants to talk to me about our guest tomorrow night, which is cool. And I'm grateful for Devin Tate. He's a big star out there in L.A., and he's my buddy, and he is consequently our buddy. So tonight, and Papa Stro, we know, is wrestling in New Jersey. He's wrestling L.A. Tank,
yep.
And I'm sure they're beating the crap out of each other, which is exactly what those two fine wrestlers should be doing. And if they're not, something's wrong with them and they don't need to get paid. But other than that, it's great. So now, well, you can tell him, you can tell him, and you can tell promoter Donald Brower that I said that. Exactly. I have no fear of anybody in that business. Because if you tell the truth, you know what? If you tell the truth, they love you. And if you don't tell the truth, they hate you. So I try to tell the truth. Anyway, it's great to be here with our friends, our pop culture stars, those of us that have been there and done that. Agree with me, Liz, have you been there and done that, yes or no?
I believe I have, yes. I wanted to make sure I went through my mind and checked all the boxes, but yes, I believe I have been
there
and done that.
Been there?
Yes.
Dave, have you been there and done that?
If I haven't, I've been there and doing that. How's that?
Okay. All right. Todd,
smooth,
have you been there and done that?
I've been there, and there and done that.
Yeah. I'm going to start it off with a great story. buddy of mine and I, when I was in graduate school in Clemson, we used to go down to Atlanta and drink and hang out and have fun. And one night I found out that my friend had a drug problem. He was messed up as he could be. So we went to some bar and we're hanging out, and he's talking to some dude in a leather jacket. And the guy turns to me and says, "Is this your friend?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You need to take him home." And he pulls out some badge. I don't remember what it was. He said, "You need to take him home and leave right now, or you're both going to jail." "Yes, sir." Took him right out.
Wow.
We drove back to Clemson, and that was it for that night. So been there, done that. Unbelievable. I was scared. I was petrified. And he said, "If you don't take him home now," I don't even know what they were talking about. I was just trying to have my stupid little gin and tonic. But whatever. Anyway, so
must have been summertime.
Sometimes calling me. That's right. Now here's what happened last night. I've had a particular ghost. Ghosts come and hang out with me for a period of time. And
I told you, Dave, he was haunted.
I am.
It's me.
And so what happened?
I just kind of stalk him. He thinks he's haunted.
A particular ghost been hanging out here for a couple of days. Now, this happens frequently. And last night, I happened to be watching To Tell the Truth, starring Steve Allen. And the guest was Paul Lynde, the possibly gay, hysterical comedian who played Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Okay?
Center square.
And so we... Pardon?
He was the center square.
He also
played
Templeton.
That's true.
Yeah, he did. He was a great caricature. He was a great character actor. He was really... Paul Lynde was a funny man. And on To Tell the Truth, so you got... Meredith Baxter Burney, who used to be a Miss Universe, and Pat Lee, and you had some other dude, and you had I can't even remember. We had four stars wanting to figure out this secret, and with Paul Lynde, you know, who knows what the secret's going to be. So the secret was, I have lost 90 pounds. Nobody knew that about Paul Lynde. Graduated from college, he weighed 260 pounds. And when his father died, he had to lose weight and write his own material. And he ended up getting picked up by a Broadway production, and the rest is history. He was quite a famous character. But I thought it was interesting, his secret was, I lost 90 pounds. That's kind of cool. You know, you don't know things about like that about people. So tonight we're going to do I've Got a Secret in Reverse. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about something about us that everybody knows, and we're all going to comment because we're all good at commenting, especially you, Liz. But okay. We're all good at commenting. So we're all going to comment, and then we're all going to tell a secret about ourselves that nobody really should know. Nothing bad or weird. I mean, if you want to do bad and weird, that's fine, but I don't want you to. I want you to tell a secret about you that nobody really knows. I already told Liz, and she was kind of surprised.
I was.
So, yeah, she was, and I'll explain it. You know how splaining is. That's what Desi Arnaz said. We're going back to we're going to explain it. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on people to tell the thing that we all know about you, and we're going to talk about it. Something, it can be funny, it can be not funny, whatever it is, I don't care. But it needs to be pop culture stars worthy, okay? And the one person that I can call on is never... or never has in 3.5 years been at a loss for words. Can you guess who I'm calling on first?
Not me.
Not you. You're laughing, Dave. All right, Dave. Tell us something about you that everybody knows, but might be interesting.
Man. Well, it all depends on what you define as interesting, of course. I guess one of the things about me is that, God, somebody screaming back there. That was good. That was.
That was,
it was my fan base.
Sorry,
they just still got it. You can make
door.
The woman scream.
Yeah,
it
I'm telling you,
man. Door. I'm sorry.
Be nice, Todd. All right.
Well, the thing that I guess everybody knows about me is that I always try to tell everybody to embrace what they enjoy. Take for instance myself, you know, the whole thing between being a jock or being a geek. I mean, I could sit there and read a comic book just as fast as I can go play sports. I love my beer, I love my whiskey, I love my cigars, and I guess I'm on that constant pursuit of finding things that make me smile. So if you haven't figured that out, and I don't mind.
What the bloody hell is the noise in the background?
Somebody is at a Kong Tea restaurant, and they're doing the tricks with the silverware.
I'm sorry.
Are they lighting the onion on fire yet?
Well, no.
They haven't done the volcano.
I unplugged the microphone, went back to get some more coffee, and sat back down. I apologize. Oh, my God, I apologize, Dave, for interrupting you.
No, that is quite all right. There was no interruption.
That's what I thought.
Cool.
All right,
that's
okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, bam.
I mean, be careful. Dr. John's having a cocktail too tonight, so this is like perfectly, you know, whatever. So, all right. So Dave, why don't you start us out and comment on what you said?
Well, on what I had mentioned.
Yeah.
What you had.
You're
going to
be the first. See, this is what we're going to do. We're going to comment on our. What'd you say, Todd?
This is a damn peculiar format.
Well, I know it is, but it's going to be fun by the end of the evening because you know it's going to go crazy.
It's going to have more beverages.
Just follow along, and if it doesn't, Todd, then text Brady Hicks and tell him that I run a crummy show. Don't you dare.
That's right, you know Brady's response. He'll be like, wait a minute, you're on it, ain't you? I'll be like, oh, shit.
You see, Brady's smarter. See, Brady's been around long enough. He knows what to say about that crap. Okay, go ahead. All right, Dave, comment about your own statement.
No, I was just basically saying, you know, concentrate on the things that make you happy. Don't put a division in between it to where you know, I've got to do this because it's macho, or I can't do this because only geeks do that. You know, whatever it is that turns your crank, whether it's reading a comic book or watching a ball game or whatever, embrace the happiness. Find a way to find your happy place and try to stay in it, because life's too short to be A, walking around mad at the world, or B, walking around waiting for a hug, because life ain't going to give it to you. Make your own way, you know?
Kid you not.
Okay. Well, Todd, since you opened your mouth, you're the next one to talk.
There's half a dozen obvious things people can run with. You know, I did a retired Marine. And I alluded to that with the whole been there, and there, with the whole done that. Paying the price a wee bit for, you know, took the best years of my youth and has took some of the after that too, and you know, accelerated a bit of the old age thing and all that. But I wouldn't change that shit for nothing. I just really wouldn't. The not a damn thing. It got me another country where just, you know, I hit a point where I managed to get some of my youthful yeah-yeahs out that, and put me in the right place at the right time and meet the woman and become my wife. And, you know, hell, that was 1990. You know, we're still raising hell, so not a bad deal overall. Not a bad deal overall.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Liz, what do you think?
I like how you and I just want to comment on Todd real quick. I really like how, and this might just be because I like to talk about everything, but I like how you included the love of your life with all of the adventures of your life being just as valuable. Because in a lot of ways, there's a lot of people who don't put the two together. But for me, like, you're the kind of guy, at least that I've known, or that I've, you know, we've had conversations, but I just like that you do that. I like that you value that. So kudos to you. That's what
Thank
I wanted
you,
to
Liz.
Say about what you said. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I tell you what, I'm going to throw out a bonus secret. And I think this is about guys. No, seriously, this is about guys. And you kind of may be something I've mentioned this before to many people and stuff, but I think sometimes, go over things with me doing the Geo Bachelor thing here, doing the gig in Indianapolis. I get Yuki, you know, she'll send random pictures and stuff. And I know Yuki now is definitely not the Yuki I met way back then. You know, she's give me two kids. I've given her a shit ton of gray hair. The kids have given her gray hair. You name it. You know, all those things that change. We all get older. Those kinds of things. But I'm always surprised when I see the picture of her when she's young, because in my mind's eye, that's still her. If that makes any sense. The best way I could relate it to you, kind of like shallow hell.
No, it makes perfect sense.
I know that I'm younger than most of you guys, but it totally makes sense. I met my wife in middle school, and because of the gradual progression, that's been 20-something years ago. So the gradual progression of meeting her and, you know, our lives, I've seen the gradual changes. And then I look back at old photographs, it's not just, you know, me and her together, but just her, and I'm just like, wow. But she never stopped looking like that to me in my eyes, in my mind. And I totally understand it, man. I get it.
So I think,
get it.
And I don't think that's necessarily, you know, everybody in our life. I think it's that those that are unique and special to us.
Also agree to that too.
So that's
Dave, look what you started.
Well, you know,
so that's
Todd
a, you
leans
know.
On, he leans on a very good point with something like that. It's amazing how much, and for me, I mean, you know, hell, I'll go ahead and throw a little bit extra out there on myself. I don't even know if you guys knew I've been married once before, and high school sweetheart type thing. We were together for 5 years. We got married, and I blew it. I mean, I blew it for 1,000 reasons. And, I mean, granted, you know, there was some improvement that she needed to do, but I, instead of trying to work through our flaws together, I used any of the flaws she had for excuse to for me to create and augment mine. And immature, dumb. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, and that's when Dale came along. You know, I had pretty much figured out for myself that the good Lord had given me my one chance and I had blown it. And sooner or later he was going to rinse the stains out of the planet's panties, and sooner or later I'd be gone. So I was living wide open. I mean, doing things I shouldn't have been doing, thinking things I shouldn't have been thinking. I was on a very destructive path when she came along. And there's some people who knew me and had gotten a hold of her and said, hey, this guy is too rowdy. You don't need to be, you don't need to be hooking up with this guy. He's bad news. And, you know, I was. So took her out to dinner one evening and laid it all out. Said exactly what I had done, what I hadn't done, and blah, blah, blah. And I says, well, if you want to get up and go and never talk to me again, no sweat. I get it. I says, but I want you to understand something, is that I'm never going to do these things to myself again. So whether it be you or anybody else, I'm never going to do this stupid stuff to me. And, you know, bigger than anything, she rolled the dice on me, and here we are 23 years later. And, you know, it's funny, now I'm the Hank Hill of the family. And she's a rowdy ass. But it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot about her. And I think all you guys have heard me say it before is she's never said I couldn't be rowdy, but gave me reasons not to be. And, you know, that in a nutshell, it's amazing how much when somebody gives you a reason to give a shit, how much of a shit you can give, if you understand my meaning on that. Sometimes that emptiness just leads to destruction, but if you got somebody,
yep.
You know what I mean? You don't want to disappoint
my new brother,
whoever it is. Yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, that's those things, man. And, you know, and they take chances, and just like you take chances with them. And, you know, that's why you've got to, when you find that person, you know, try to work things out. Don't be, and I'm going to use that word again, butthurt. Don't let butthurt get in the way. Work things out. And whatever you do, don't make the situation worse. Don't create excuses. Fix it, you know.
Well, and, definitely, you know, I want to piggyback off of what you were saying. Kind of wanted to piggyback off of you, Dave, for a second, if you're cool with that. I wanted to say basically that one of the biggest lessons that I have learned, and I've been told this lesson several times, and you know how as someone younger, you hear the words, but you don't put meaning or attribute meaning to your life. But one of the biggest things that I think has ever really been educational for at least my relationships has been this one simple phrase. And it's, people will come into your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. And I think in your case, you would not be the you you're supposed to be if you hadn't gone through that first marriage to learn who you didn't even want to be.
Oh, so, most certainly. I had to lose to learn how to win. Yep.
Yep. I that's one of the things. It's like, you know, that was a lesson. And unfortunately, someone's feelings had to be involved. But you became a better person. And because you became a better person for yourself, you were a better person for someone else. And that someone else made you want to be even better. I think that's amazing.
Right.
But people come into your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime.
Yeah, just, you know, and the thing of it is that when you screw up, you know, it's not a mistake till you've done it the second time. It's the first time around, it's a lesson. You know, the first time somebody threw a baseball at you, you didn't catch it. The first time you spelled your name, you didn't spell it correctly. But, you know, take for instance,
really,
you know,
Dave? It ain't that all hard.
Oh,
Let me guess. You had to spell David, not Dave.
Yeah. So I tried to shorten it up a little bit, you know. But
what'd
when
you
I got
do,
my
spell
DUI.
Obi-Wan? Are you Obi-Wan Kenobi? Obi-Wan?
That's it.
He goes but, by D for exactly. short.
D2, right? But I used to drive home liquored up every night of the week. That was the only way I ever get my car to the house. And I never thought anything of it.
Did you really say that, Dave?
But it was just the way it went. You know what I mean? When I was saying I was on that destructive path. And I got a DUI. And ever since then, it's been like the Pope. And, again, it didn't take but once. And I think that's the thing a lot of people, when you find yourself in a real screwed-up situation, you could probably link it back to one or two bad calls you made somewhere down the line. But whatever you do, don't screw up the same thing twice. I mean, losing's a good thing. Losing educates you. But losing twice, you're just an ass. You're not going to get any. You're not going to get a warm shoulder to cry on from me, because if you do it twice,
Dave, I have to tell you something. This is great. Back when I was in graduate school at Clemson, I learned finally: do not drive drunk. So what I would always do is I'd get a ride home with somebody, or I'd go back to their place and sleep on their couch or whatever. And I knew that I was in trouble for too much partying when it took me 2 days to remember where I'd left my car.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
I did, and I kept asking all my friends, is my car over there? No. Is it over there? No. And it's like, shit, where is my car? So my
dude, where's my
learned,
car?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't find my
dude,
damn car.
Dude, there it is.
And the movie, the movie was made.
It took a little bit of finding, but I finally found my car. And I realized that, you know, I didn't need to party that hard because I needed my car. And I think practicality. But, yeah, it was like, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone through that phase in your life. I mean, I had a phase, but it was just funny. And Dave, you reminded me of that, so I apologize. Please forgive me.
No, you're right. I mean, I had an occurrence in '91, and again, I was a newlywed when it all happened. Went out and got destroyed. Worked like a 20-hour day. And got off of work, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, working at the beach at the time, and went out and just got destroyed, right? Well, I get up the next morning, and when I wake up, I'm at the house, okay? Or I'm at, you know, where me and my first wife lived, right? And I wake up, and I'm like, okay, so she's not talking to me. I get up, I get, you know, showered up and everything, and I walk outside. My car's not there. So I says, oh. So anyhow, she says, I'm going to drive you to work because your car's not out there. I says, okay. Well, she drives me to work, and I get in there, and I walk around to everybody in the store. Hey, man, did you drive me home last night? Hey, man, did you give me the house last night? I asked as many people as I could to find out how in the hell I got back to the house and where in the hell my car is at, right? So we used to have to drive our store deposit to the bank and turn them in. So I go to the bank, and one of the tellers there says, so how pissed was your wife? And I went, yeah, she's pretty bent out of shape. And I looked at her and says, you know my wife? And she goes, no, but she didn't look too happy when I dropped you off on the step last night. And I was like, so you were the one who dropped me off, right? So then, of course, so as I'm sitting there going, my God, okay, you were the one that did it. And then I, you know, she gives me all the paperwork from the deposit, and I go to walk out and turn around and look. I says, "Hey, so where the hell is my car at?" She says, "It's at my place." And I was like, "Oh shit." So of course, I end up, you know, when she got off of work, she come and got me in a store, drove me to her place. I got her car that night. I drove home. And of course my first wife, you know, she's not talking to me. And,
no.
So what I do, I jumped in the car and when I got liquored up again. So,
good thinking. Again,
yeah, that was brilliant. You're wondering why, you know, it didn't last. But it's those type of things right there. I mean, and to even stretch it out a little further is, here I am a grown man, or at least I thought at the time, and
are you really?
I had no idea where my car was at. I had no idea who drove me to the house. It could have been Charles Manson for all I know. So, again, you know, it's those little lessons. Have I been loaded since? Oh yeah, plenty of times, but I haven't gone that far again. Thank Christ, not yet.
Well, that's good. All right, Dave, you've enlightened us and enlightened us.
I know this is going back to like two segments, but I can't help but bring this up. And I know timing sucks because I knew Dave's story was going to be money.
Todd, bad timing is better than no timing at all. Go for it.
All right, well, Dr. John, you're sitting there talking about doing the stuff, and you couldn't find your car for 2 days, and all I could think of is, ladies and gentlemen, you too can become a doctor.
Well, that was a long time ago, but that's okay. Anyway, yes, you too can become a doctor. Or YouTube can become a doctor. All right. All right, Todd. What's something we know about you?
Another thing, clearly my inner child is not very inner. I think everybody pretty much knows that.
You're out of child.
I mean, I will, you know, I still have my childlike fascination with stuff and I don't hide it. You all know we had the wildlife group that would be at the events, and they knew I would walk up. I'd drop my donation in the jar, and they just let me go right back to where that particular snake was. You know, it's kind of, you know, I'm still that little boy that likes snakes, you know, fascinated by them. And I'd sit there and I'd walk around with Julius for a while and stuff like that, and saw recently that Julius had passed on. That was freaking heartbreaking.
That Julius is no more.
Got a ton of photos with that particular critter. But you know, I mean, it's those little things. I remember sitting in the woods. The point was I was trying to do some squirrel hunting and stuff. And I got so fascinated by the walking stick that I was watching, you know, that just one of the most unique creations on the planet, that I have no idea how long I heard the squirrel fussing because I was standing underneath its tree, hearing it chirp at me because I was there in the threat. I'm like, I'm supposed to be out here hunting, and that thing's been barking at me, and I'm standing right here and just ignored it because it was just, I was enthused with watching that little thing. And I guess it's, you know, my enjoyment with nature. You all know I like my fishing, the hunting, honestly. When it comes to a hunting experience, if nobody's ever done it, go out bird hunting when dogs are involved. When good hunting dogs are involved, if you see two dogs work together, one dog honor the other one's, there's something sacred about it. It's just watching that dog quiver, wait for the point, just that pure instinct, its ability to do that, the way they'll smell those things. Watch a younger hunting dog mid-leap and in the air drop into the point as it gets a scent. Boom, and stop in the point. It'll turn the body and it'll be on point. Just watch them quiver till they're told that they can go to flush the bird. The those kind of little things. The just nature. My inner child. The look. My friend's 2 year old kid when it turned 2 years old. He turned 2 years old. I just used it. Sorry. The I wanted him to have Lincoln Logs because my memories as a child and just the whole build the imagination, because the crap you can build with that stuff, it's just money. So my inner child and real inner on so many levels, the whole, you know, still wanting to learn, still wanting to be part of nature, stuff like that. I guess I did grow out of the point where, you know, I'm not like a 2 year old where I'm out there and outside and they're finding me naked doing stuff, you know. So I've grown up a little bit.
Now that's a good thing, Todd.
Just saying. Apparently, the authorities frown on that when you get older.
I think they do.
Just saying.
Just saying.
So, yeah, you all know my inner child is not real inner.
It's extra.
An outer child.
Okay,
then.
Well. Right, Liz. You've got it. How about all of our inner childs? Is it external or internal? Liz, is your inner child internal or external?
Totally external. You can ask my wife. It's funny because my niece, she's 7. She'll be 8 in May. And she's truly my best friend. It's like we have the same amusement level, the same IQ. Like, I am totally like a kid when it comes to hanging out with my niece. I mean, and I could just get lost for hours. We go hiking in the forest or go camping or I don't know. There's just something about my inner child that just runs free when I'm with my niece, because it's like I have a play buddy, and all the things I wanted to do as a kid, you know, I never really got to do, I get to do now. But as an adult, I get to experience it because I get to make rules, and I get to experience it through her. So it's like, no, we shouldn't have a second scoop of ice cream, but why not? Or no, we shouldn't jump into the creek because we don't have anything but tennis shoes, but there's, you know, why not? You know, life is short, and there's going to come a time when she's going to be too big to do that, or her friends, or, you know, she's going to get to a point where she doesn't want to hang out with me anymore. But, like, I think my inner child is so vibrant, like, when I'm with kids, because I love them. I can identify with them. I know how they feel. And, you know, I know how they think. And it's fun to just be able to just be a kid. I think because whenever I was young, I had to be, like, I had to grow up so fast that I didn't have that opportunity. So, like, my inner child now, it is so much extroverted because I didn't have the opportunity then. So, and, you know, as much as I wish I could have had that as a child, I almost enjoy it that much more now, because I know what it's like not to have it. So I appreciate it even much, like even more now, but I do have it. But yes, my inner child is not an inner child. It's an outer child. Just to give you an idea, one day my niece was hanging out with us. We had her for like 4 days. And I decided, because I'm the cool auntia, we're going to get Nerf guns and we're going to shoot each other. Now, she had no idea. And my wife said, are you sure this is a good idea? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
Like, okay. Nice risk management.
I say that all the time, Liz. Come on.
Yeah, Liz, it's going to be great. This is going to be awesome. Don't worry.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is a growing and a learning experience. I bombard her. Like, basically what I did was I took her Nerf gun and her set of darts, and I set them there in front of her. And she grabbed the gun and looked confused. And then, of course, I pulled out my Nerf guns and started pelting her with darts. Game on, right? But that's the kind of thing that I get to do now that I've always wanted to do. But it's just little things like that. That's like spontaneity through the eyes of a child is just an amazing thing. So for me, that's where I think I thrive the most. But I also had the same IQ as a 7-year-old, so here you go.
Well, that sounds like a pleasant evening with the Queen of Sparkle, now I can tell you that.
Hold on. You don't get to throw this at Dave yet, Dr. John, because we're throwing this one at you because you're pretty good at dodging yourself with these things. So.
Oh, I noticed that too.
Just saying.
What?
you ain't getting to dodge this one. You'd like to put it on everybody
else.
What
am I supposed to say or whatever?
Something that about you that we know.
No, well, start with the inner child.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Well, I'm about 12 years old most of the time. No, and I am, and I have to. I have to like check it all the time. It's like yesterday. Okay, I'm down in Charleston. I'm working hard trying to promote this event that I'm doing, being the adult going around doing all my stuff. So I'm driving back, and I saw Highway 402. I said, shit, that's where the Rice Hope Plantation Bed and Breakfast haunted place is. I'm going down there, and I don't care if I'm late back to work. So I drive down there. I get into this place, and it is getting scary. And it's only like 5:30 in the afternoon. And I keep going and keep going and keep going. And oh, my God, this place is just getting creepy as all get out. And it's like my inner child had come out and put me down there, and I said, you know, I need to get out of here. This is not cool. And so I finally got there. I found the place. I drove in there. I called the lady. I said, could I take a tour? Well, we're closed now. And I see her standing outside of her smaller house there talking to me on the phone. The inner child wanted to say, now, lady, you're lying to me because I'm looking at you in my car. But I didn't. So, I mean, yeah. So that is the inner child, but I kept it in check. I didn't want to have them call the Berkeley County police on me for, like, yelling at this lady. So I left. But the inner child made me drive, like, 14 miles out, way out in the middle of the Spanish Moss to try to find this haunted bed and breakfast. And then I get there and the lady was too scared to talk to me. So I left. So there's the end.
Maybe it's not a haunted
child
house because there's ghosts.
See,
maybe there's a haunted house because there are people who just stroll up and she can get scared. And
well,
report
I think
stuff
she was
sometime.
More, she was more scared of me than the ghosts, I think. And so,
I was going to say, when the proprietor of the haunted place thinks Dr. John is haunted,
maybe she's right.
Just saying.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe she's right. All right. I'm going to jump in with my what everybody knows about me. May I do that, friends, Romans and countrymen?
Knock yourself out.
By
all
means.
Can you lend me your ear? Okay.
Just for the record, all I see saying that is Spanky from the Little Rascals. When he's trying to do it with a play.
Yeah.
Okay. But go ahead.
Yeah, but go ahead. All right, here's the deal. What, Liz?
I was like, you guys are going to have to help me figure out what you guys know about me, because I don't even have an idea of what you guys know about me. When it gets to my turn, I don't know.
I was going to tell mine, so don't worry. We'll see. It'll be good. It'll be great.
Okay.
It'll be great. That's what I tell people when I'm training them in sales. It'll be great. Come on. And then we're driving by a house, and there's a tree that has fallen in the roof, and there's nobody there to sell life insurance to. Oh, but it'll be great. Don't worry, Susie. Oh, I'll never make a living. Okay. So anyway, every time I meet somebody, pretty much, when I meet somebody new, and if I'm going to have a quality conversation with them, it always turns to dead people. It just does, because when I was selling life insurance, whoever I would go see, they wanted to start talking about their dead relatives and ask me what I thought about them. It's fact. So yesterday I'm in Charleston. This is great. So I'm in Somerville, and I go by this store. And I walk in, and because I'm trying to put a poster up for my event and give them some passes and say, please send people. Dear God, please send people. I got to have people at my event. So we start talking for about 30 seconds, and the gentleman that owns the store says, I think I recognize you. And I said, I recognize you too. And the first thing out of my mouth is, did you know Denny Stevenson? Now, Denny started the Florence Comic Con. He passed away 2 years ago. He was my mentor when it comes to starting Comic Cons. And he looked at me, and his eyes got as wide as saucers, and he said, when I was in the hospital getting a liver transplant, Denny was in the bed next to me. I said, what?
Wow.
That is a whiz.
And then I said, and then my next question, I mean, this is a standard Dr. John conversation with someone I've never met. So I said, so what kind of paranormal experience did you have in the hospital? Because I perceived that you had one. He said, oh, you mean that? Oh, well, there was in the corner of my room, sometimes I could see this old man in a wheelchair. And then sometimes he would disappear, and I told the nurse, and she had me assigned to another room because she said that when people start seeing that old man in that particular room, they tend to die.
Whoa.
So here's my conversation walking into a store in Somerville, South Carolina. I mean, how much more can you ask for? So this is what you know about me, and maybe what you don't know is that whenever I start talking to new people, the conversation always goes to dead people, their dead relatives, and maybe dead friends that we have in common. What more can I say? Dave, you would believe that, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, it's connective tissue for certain, but it's...
It's connective tissue. I've never heard it put like that, buddy.
It's just talking about death is not always the best icebreaker. You know? Hey, how you doing? Well, good to see you. So, how many dead people you know?
And yet it leads to killer conversations.
It's the one thing everybody experiences. Everybody.
But really, seriously,
it's the one thing that connects everyone.
It is, and these are the kind of conversations that I tend to have because everybody wants to talk about dead people with me. So maybe that's the you didn't know this about me, but you could have probably figured this one out. Okay, so all right, so I'm going to go around the ring around the rosy. Todd, what do you think about this?
Actually, one of the first thoughts that came in is if you remember when we met, we were at the tattoo place watching Stroh's movie.
Yes, yes.
And that actually was not part of our conversation.
Well, apparently.
It was actually.
We had other things.
You guys were talking about the podcast and such things. And you were talking about some of the unique things. And I brought up HARP.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that conversation very well.
And actually, it didn't happen at the second one either, which was at a wrestling event. And you gave us passes. We were at the, not the usual, not the National Guard Armory in Wilmington. We were at the...
It was that other place. I remember.
It was the other one. It was a Maldi Branch one.
It's a nice place.
And, yep, we were at the larger reserve station, primarily Navy run, but it had the other branches there as well, and that was the thing. That's where you met Darian, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my first thought was, cool. And both those, well, we were 0 for 2 about talking about dead people in those conversations. We made up for it since then, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but somehow I think we weren't supposed to talk about them, but I'm supposed to talk about dead people with a lot of folks. All right. All right, I've got to hear everybody out now. Liz, what do you think?
The first time I ever spoke to you on the telephone, we were talking about death. So I would have to say that's pretty accurate, you see. You know, unfortunately, we were talking more specifically about JFK. That is a death that we were talking about. So, yes,
yeah.
I hold true to this assessment of yourself. So I think that's a part of the glue that holds our, you know, relationships together, friendships, podcast buddies, everything. Without death, what do you talk about? I don't know.
Sports.
It's like your gateway conversation. It's like, okay, what do you know about dead people? I love wrestling too. And I'm like, okay, cool. See, I don't really know a lot about wrestling, but I can certainly relate to dead people. So that's how we bonded. And conspiracy theories. That's the other thing. You're known for conspiracy theories, and that is why we became friends. But it was a conspiracy theory about a dead person, so still connects.
Actually, I had a half-assed thought about it, not so much a conspiracy theory, but maybe a copycat theory. Dave referred to himself as Hank Hill earlier, and he had that neighbor Brumhauer that nobody could understand.
Now,
so what if Brumhauer's voice was higher pitched? Wouldn't that be Cousin It from the Addams Family?
That's a lot nicer than I was going to say. I was going to say, doesn't that sound like it would be his wife complaining?
I'm just thinking.
But
higher pitch. Well, see, and you're not far off right there. We're at Charlie Brown's teacher. If that were sped up a little bit. But yeah, I'm just saying. But yeah, all I could think of was when Dave mentioned being Hank Hill. It struck me oddly that I thought about Brumhauer. Then I was like, son of a bitch, Brumhauer is a deeper voice, Cousin It.
he's Cousin It.
Just saying. Yeah, my mind goes strange places. Sorry.
I think that's why we all get along.
Oh, you want something even creepier? It clicked to me the other day. When our elevators in the building come there to the floor, they have two matching tones. And I realize that the first tones are the first two notes of the funeral march.
Two what?
Huh.
The bell of the elevator, the first tune, it does two tones when it comes in. And those two tones happen to be the first two notes of the funeral march.
Agree.
Not something you want to hear getting on an elevator.
On elevator, exactly.
All I know is I realized I caught myself humming the funeral march getting on the elevator, then I was like, son of a bitch, that's why.
Yeah, not the best idea.
I think it's kind of fun.
Not what I call a good omen.
It's just a humor.
But, yeah. And the whole thing is, since I actually twigged on that, I'm making sure I'm telling everybody at work so they can't get that worm out of their head either. I want to make sure I share that particular one.
But if you were the guy that created the ding, the two notes, I mean, would that not just be pleasing to know that that's like a little Easter egg that you placed in common, like, history? And not everybody's going to get it, but those that do, you're like, I see you. Like, that's awesome. I love Easter egg like that, though.
It's like Final Destination is what it's like.
Yeah.
Don't pull up next to a log truck.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, hell no.
Old Luke is fine, though. They're taking
what?
It in a totally another direction. This is a damn fine cigar I'm smoking tonight. Drew Estate. Fat Bottom Betty, I'm telling you, these cigars are excellent. I just had to get that out there for the cigar-smoking public. Now we can go on back to death.
I'm good.
To be honest, Dave, I look, my smoke store has those Cohibas, and I keep, boy, I look at them, but I've told myself I'm going to wait till either Garion finds his way up here or somebody like that, you know, or I get with one of the old Marine buddies or something, you know. Like,
yeah.
I've been good. I've not done that. Saving it. But I know where the stash can be picked up.
I'm telling you, I love these things. They, cigar smoking is probably one of the most relaxing. Now, granted, the Surgeon General is probably jumping up and down right now listening to the podcast, but it is probably one of the most peaceful and enjoyable things you can do. It almost requires you to sit still, which is not a bad thing. I know it's all about getting up and being active, but sometimes sitting still and just taking the damn pack off does you some good. And by God, it might trim 10, 20 years off my lifespan, but if I can have a damn cigar every evening and feel like this, so be it. Who wants to live in agony? There's another segue to death for you.
You know, well, you want to know the truth. Some of my favorite cigars in life have been after we had done some of the conditioning marches, as they refer to them. You go out, you do the 20 miles, you come back, I would do a quick shower, and I would fill the tub, and I would put Epsom salts, or once I got married and Yuki had some of the cool other little bath stuff or whatever, I'd load that tub up, sit down in that, have a book stashed to the side, good sipping whiskey and a decent cigar, and I would let the aches and pains go away with a cigar in the tub.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a
bottle of whiskey, a good book.
Yeah, man. And you just kind of sit back and, like I said, you relax. It forces you to, just chill, I guess is a lack of a better term for it. And I enjoy it. I do. It's probably not the healthiest thing in the world that I do, but I'm here to tell you, I can either stress myself into the casket or I can take it slow and happily. And, you know, now I wouldn't suggest burning a cigar twice a day, because, you know, lip and gum cancer is not a funny thing, and neither is throat cancer and blah, blah, blah. But anything done in moderation, i.e. having a cigar, you know, 2-3 times a week at the most, and, you know, get your favorite music and get
seems
yourself an adult
even
beverage.
Miss Hepburn said, seems to me even Miss Hepburn said she imagined God smoking a cigar.
That was George Burns.
Well, no, not God smoking
George
a cigar.
Burns
Miss
God?
Hepburn referenced, she
yeah.
told John Wayne that. Think
John Denver.
What
George
was the follow up? The follow up to True Grit.
Oh Jesus! Crud.
Might have been True Grit too. I don't know, but that she did tell John Wayne that.
Yeah, these things are good to go, though. I just, yeah. And they're not for everybody, don't get me wrong. If you ever go out there to a tobacco store and everything, find yourself a mild Maduro, you know, something with, you know, in the termination, Maduro, you want to go out and find something with a dark wrap because it's got a mild flavor to it. And work your way up. Don't go out and buy some, you know, Churchill or something like that, and then you end up throwing
Please,
up all
most,
over the sides.
Most wrap is dark wrap. The only thing we got that's different is vanilla ice and a few others.
If everybody would stop collaborating and listen, though, the world would be a whole lot better place. You know that.
All right, vanilla.
There we go.
I just, you know, as much as I would like to, I can't do the whole cigar thing. And, I think the reason for that is because when I was coming up, my dad used to smoke a pipe. And
oh, yeah.
There's like a feeling that is associated with pipe tobacco
that almost feels like a hug, you know? But anytime I think of cigars, like, all I can envision is, I don't know, like, there's a difference between pipe smoke to me and cigar smoke. Like, it just, one of them smells more burning.
Oh,
I know
much.
That doesn't make any sense. But I can totally get behind, like, a pipe. But that's kind of the same thing you're talking about when you're starting, you know, with a still milder and work your way up. That's kind of what I did with craft beer. But that is my relaxant of choice, is craft beer. But good,
yeah,
that
ain't
the, good craft beer.
I got to tell you one of my favorite cigar stories, bar none. Gary, and I know I've mentioned this before, but Gary, when he brought what is now his wife, Casey, over to meet us the first time, he took her to his cigar bar beforehand. It was her first time ever. And she had one of those classic negative reactions to it. She was still a little green around the gills when he brought her over. That was a poor, boy, what a way to meet your future in-laws. And, man.
Yeah,
man, what
funny
a,
little side story on that. The day we retired, and Todd, you can relate to this because you know Kevin. As a retirement present, I had bought Kevin a bottle of Patton bourbon, and it's the bottle's beautiful. You know, it's got George Patton on the front, and it's got, you know, you've got to see it to appreciate it. But anyhow. It ain't cheap. And I walked up to him with the bag, and I pulled out of my truck. So we went over to his house. And I said, you magnificent son of a bitch, congratulations. And, you know, of course, if you've watched Patton, you understand the
yeah, there,
behind,
there's some
know,
of us that got it immediately.
The meaning behind that, you know. And
I read
his wife had gotten me a bottle of bourbon just the same. So me and him sat there and drank close to $100 worth of bourbon and smoked, I don't know, probably $40-$50 worth of cigars between four cigars. And, you know, of course, my wife comes over to Kevin's house, you know, to go ahead and peel me up off the ground. And I am just sitting right there going, good afternoon, how you doing? I mean, I was ready for brain surgery. I mean, I wasn't stumbling around or nothing like that, but it was all because we were just sitting there chilling, drinking good bourbon, having good cigars. And that's the thing about cigars, man. It just, like I said, it brings it down to where, you know, you put some Sinatra on, or, you know, even like me, I get my Willie Nelson and my Ray Charles and everything playing. And, it just, It makes for a good afternoon or a good evening. And, you know, I could be doing a whole hell of a lot worse. So, but, yeah, if you ever want a good smoke, find yourself something mild. Don't be afraid to ask when you go to your tobacco store. And go to a legit one. Don't go to one of these fly-by-night cigarette shops and everything. Go to a legit where they mix their own
cigar
pipe. Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask somebody. Say, hey, I'm breaking into it. You know, what would you suggest for a guy that can't hold his weight? And everybody in there is going to be more than welcome to helping you out. As a matter of fact, Dale, she smokes the little flavor-infused ones. They're not huge. They're like they're a little bit bigger than cigarettes, but they're actually like cherry-infused, almost have like, you know, Cavendish in them and everything. And she loves them. So, you know, now we sit out here on the deck. And
oh, yeah,
our
there's a
time.
Ton of those now where Liz had mentioned the pipe smoke. There are a ton of the cigars now. Think craft beer.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's, I was making the connection.
That may not be a bad analogy. Now, just for the record, I realize I looked at the clock a minute or so ago, and we're at 3 after. And I'm thinking, huh, we ain't touched secrets yet. Just to put us back on Dr. John's schedule. But we're still here, but we still haven't got through Liz's, whatever everybody knows. God, we wrecked an hour plus.
I don't think we wrecked it. I think we have had a
with a damn peculiar format.
But you know what?
Could have been the worst that night me and you were holding it.
Right?
That got damn awkward.
Damn peculiar format.
So what do you know about me?
You take the floor. Talk it up.
I like people to be happy. I think that's the biggest thing. Is I like people to be understood. I like people to be happy. I like to be a voice for people who don't have voices. And I also like to talk. And I think that my inner child is a 13-year-old boy because I still laugh at fart jokes.
Farts are great.
I think boobs are the best thing ever, and I laugh at fart jokes, so I'm totally like a 13-year-old boy. But I think deep down, you guys all know this, or at least I hope you guys all know this, that, you know, when I have friends, they're not friends, they're family. And when I have, you know, people I've never met before, I try to make them friends as soon as possible. And if I have people that I don't particularly care for, I don't make a tendency to be ugly to people because I live by the motto that, you know, the toes you step on today may be attached to the ass you have to kiss tomorrow. And I just feel like, you know, I hope you guys know how important you are to me because, you know, I've lost a lot of people in my life and I think life is really short and it's important for you guys to know that you matter, even if it's just to me, but you do matter to someone. So that's what I hope you guys take from me.
No, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I know about you for sure, Liz, I know you got a massive heart.
Yeah, man.
You are.
Don't believe.
Seriously, the no, you're. I know my life's better for you joining us here, and I mean it's been a long, strange trip for me to end up on this podcast and you come here and it's a much better thing that you're here and a lot of it I'll attribute to your heart. And
well,
I don't the group, anybody else here dispute that?
Oh no, absolutely. I used to enjoy it when Liz would join us just sporadically, you know, earlier on before she became regular, for crying out loud. It was just always a good uplift. Because let's face it, sometimes we get a little old to hear. And then we've also had a few guests on that have been hit and miss over the months. But Liz was always a great pick-me-up whenever she got on the show. So now to have the privilege of having her on here every week, it does. It lifts the show up, you know, and gives a lighter, you know, outside of me bitching about everything and all, it gives a lighter end to things. And, no, damn sure appreciate having you around.
I just think so far on the other side of the brain, I think that I hope, at least my hope, that the way I can see things or the way I interpret things, I can at least shed light on something maybe that you've never thought of before. Or validate a concern that maybe you didn't know that, you know, other people thought like you, like make you feel like you're not alone. Like that's what I do for my friends. And I really hope you guys know that you really are my friends, like to the core. Like I think of you guys as like Friday night buddies. Let's go have beer and talk about the real shit. And then, you know, just, you guys are like my pals. And my wife, I tell her all the time, she's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to watch Golden Girls? I'm like, can't. Talking to my guys. She's like, again? I'm like, yeah. Because they're my pals. And she's like, okay, go be a nerd. I said, all right, love you, bye. But she knows, like, now it's so regular. She's like, hey, don't forget, tonight you got to go talk to your pals. I'm like, yeah, those are my guys.
That's what we do here. That's what I told Dale before the show. I grabbed a couple beers, grabbed my cigar, said, Gary, go do the show. She said, okay. You know, it's like right on, cool, you know, knock yourself out.
Oh,
but
I
yeah,
an
we
enjoy
having
time.
You. Well, it's the bowling night is what it is. And, you know, we don't have to go anywhere. We do it for free. And it is. You look forward to it. And I know not too awful long ago when I went through that patch where I was working late every night of the show, ironically enough, I did. I missed it. It was one of those things where I didn't realize how much I was missing it until I did it again, and I'm going, wow, you know, there's a hole in my week, and this is it. I need to quit missing this.
It's kind of the thing that pushes from the beginning to get to the end of the week. It's like that middle, you know, push. It's like, oh, cool. So, like, Monday I have to go to work. Tuesday, I kind of go to work. Tacos, possibly. Wednesday, podcast. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I can make it to Friday. And then I can make, you know, it's that little push in the middle of the week that I need. You guys are great.
Yeah. I left work at 6 o'clock tonight. I got there just for the record. I was there at 6 this morning. And I was both yin and yang about the podcast tonight. But I was like, you know what? Just for the record, as much as I'd like to usually pull some shit off on April 1st, I pulled jack shit off. This has been straight up 3 days of Friday the 13th. The workload has been redonkulous at best. We're beyond knee-deep in it. I'm at this point, I need a blowhole on the top of my head to be able to deal with how deep we are into it. But I was like, you know what? This is going to be such a stress relieval tool. And I'd be like, shit, I'm going to be devoid of sleep, stuff like that. But it is so worth it.
It's
like
a mental
massage.
It's
such a huge decompression time.
And it gives Dr. John an hour and a half excuse to drink red wine, right?
He ain't said nothing in a while. I've been wondering if he's still connected.
I think I got too sappy for him, and he's like, I got to bounce, guys.
He's already passed out.
He went on a wine run. He's just not back yet.
Oh, man. Dr. John, you out there?
I guess all
right. So... Well, we're moving along with time. We're the secrets. Are you all ready?
I think
just to follow the format. Do we agree we're gonna try to follow the format?
I think we should postpone. I think we all have too many secrets for 7 minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna pull it. We're gonna pull some of this off.
All right.
And Dr. John said it should be pop culture related. Well, this has had its run and gone. I don't know if it's got any little Broadway bullshit or anything like that. But y'all remember when Michael Flatley and the Lord of the Dance was a big deal and all that stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well, that was a highly stylized thing come from the traditional Irish dancing.
Right.
And I do happen to have some background with that. And therein lies the secret. Yes, with the kilt. And oh, by the way, I still have the cut calves. I did the Irish dancing growing up. I was in Ireland when Michael Flatley was the first American to win the men's senior Irish dancing competition.
Wow, I'm impressed.
That was a huge breakthrough for any of the Americans to win. The Irish dance teacher Tessie Burke, love you, Tessie. I've known her most all of my life. She put up with a lot of my shenanigans when I was younger. It's just, doing Irish dancing growing up, I was part of that. And when it was hugely unpopular, I remember wearing a kilt, all that stuff, to the talent competition at school. And man, the ridicule was ridiculous. Please, there would be, I assure you, the current generation would have either killed themselves or tried to turn around and kill everybody else. Most of them would try to kill themselves today. They just got no will. But yeah, no, went through all that, actually know some of that stuff, that pop culture, that little thing. And in an ironic tie, that call that I got that delayed me from getting on the show was one of my old school Irish dancing mates. We were so young doing that stuff that when we were learning our first, other than individual solo dance where we would do the figures, which were multiple people, that we were pretty sure there were cooties going on. You know, and
that's not how that spreads, buddy.
Yep, gotta be careful with that trash. It's funny. Look, there might be maybe an instinctive intelligence with that, given some of the things that are related to the progression of interaction that are negative with people when they grow up. So just saying, so maybe cooties is just a infantile understanding of STDs. But just saying, maybe it's an instinctive thing. It was just a full loop because John had given us the premise. I had that in my, and that was the one I went into with what y'all don't know about me. And one of my old Irish dance mates called and had the news about not good news.
There's not a single
Katie, love you,
hon.
Just saying.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't think there's a single day that we have ever been on podcast together or talked on Messenger together or talked on Facebook or texted, but every single time I've ever had any kind of communication with you whatsoever, you impress me a little more every day. Like, I mean, and I don't mean that, I'm not kissing your ass, but like, just you as a person, the stereotypes that could be following you, but you just break all the molds, dude. It's like every day I learn something else about you and I'm impressed by it.
Thank you. I'm honored, hon. I really am. I'm massively flattered. There was Sunday and out of nowhere you were sending the text and stuff, and I just thought it was so cute that you thought, and yes, I know I can follow sports on various apps and stuff like that via the net and stuff, but I so don't have cable. I actually had to ask people at work today, so who's left in the tournament? And just for the record, despite having grown up in Ohio, I'm going to give I just hope it's Michigan State. I've got nowhere near honestly, I quit. I really dropped watching college sports when I saw all this stuff about the fake courses.
UNC killed you, didn't it?
Dave will tell you, I've run fantasy leagues at the store.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge. I did it as a team building thing. We got people talking to each other that never friggin' talked to each other.
Yeah.
Because it was all part of the leagues and stuff. And it's just, there is so much garbage in that now that I'm not supporting it. I mean, I will tell you, I miss the camaraderie that stuff brought, because Dave, was that not money across the store?
Oh, no, we had a blast. And smack talking. And, I mean, it was good stuff. And it was something else at work to talk about other than work. You know what I mean? And it was an amazing
team-building thing. It built relationships outside of work.
Yeah, because there was something else to talk about other than the misery of the workplace, you know?
Yeah. And I am so jaded on college and pro sports now that...
Yeah, they have taken a turn.
I haven't run a fantasy league in a while. And Dave will tell you, I'll build a constitution for a fantasy league like nothing you ain't never seen.
I want in. I like to play sports. I like to play fantasy sports. I like to watch all the games. We should do something weird like that.
Yeah, I'm so jaded I don't... No, maybe we got to do something. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just so with the stuff. But jaded again, those erroneous courses and all that.
Yeah.
Truth be told, the next pool we need to do, is everybody hip on Game of Thrones? You guys watch that at all?
Well, just for the record, I watched my first episode the other night. I watched the original episode. My nephew has been nagging me so hard about that show. He wanted me to try to watch to binge watch the whole series or to watch the first season. He calls me on Sunday evening this last Sunday evening before the final season finale of Walking Dead. And is like, here's my password. Watch this stuff.
Well, there's actually
I'm like, you know the Walking Dead is on tonight, right? And oh, by the way, I watch Walking Dead with an app. It's not a cable thing. I watch it with an app.
I've got there's actually a sheet that I'd have to pull up that has all of the remaining characters for this season, and you have to jot down before Sunday night whether you think they're going to live or die by the end of this series. So it's almost like a Game of Thrones fantasy league in itself.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's a great show.
All right. Real quick theme. Dave, secret.
Oh, man, secrets.
Well, hey Dave. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah,
good.
I can hear you.
I just got back. I tell you what, we're about out of time, so what we're going to do is we're going to start out next week, and we're going to start doing our secrets. Todd, you're going to have another one because this one's been good. And we talked about it.
I ain't got another one.
Well, you got to find one. And I've got one, and I know Liz will, and hopefully Rob will be with us, but Dave will. But yeah, we'll because we're about to run out of time, but we'll be back next week with Secrets of the Pop Culture Stars. Is that cool?
Sounds good.
Sure.
Like
I know.
That?
By the way, Secrets is one of my favorite Van Halen tunes.
That's great. Well, all I got to say is on behalf of the Pop Culture Stars. Liz, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. John.
Dave, thank you.
Much obliged, sir.
Todd, thank you.
You're more than welcome, Dr. John.
All right, so Secrets of the Pop Culture Stars next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Other than that, we all be good. We'll all stay in contact. And we'll all enjoy being your pop culture stars. And we got it right before the British lady said 90 seconds. You guys be good, okay?
Group, big hugs.
Wish you were here with us.
Take care, gang.
Bye,
big hugs,
y'all.
That man kicks some ass.
Later.